Good morning, 809 News Radio 923 and AM 1620. It's the last day of school for Escambia County kids next week for Santa Rosa County kids. But last day of school, that means we always try to connect with our superintendent, Malcolm Thomas of Escambia County Schools. Superintendent, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So a little bit of a weird last day today, obviously, given the changes that are in place right now. It's kind of also weird because unless something dramatically changes, this will be your last day of the semester ever, right?
Well, it'll be the last day of this school year. I'll still be here to start the next school year. I hope I'll be here when we start.
Right.
Our plans now are to start it on schedule. If that happens, then I'll be here to begin the next year. I'm here until November. But, yeah, this is beyond weird. It's very strange. It feels strange to be on campuses and not see the parking lot full. I think our staff's done a really good job over the last couple of weeks in small groups distributing the supplies and materials that were in the classrooms back to the parents. And I really probably ought to take this opportunity to congratulate all the parents who were thrust into the role of homeschool teacher. They didn't ask for that any more than we asked to put them in that position, but so many of those parents stepped up and did a stellar job to support the work that our regular teachers were providing to them. It was different, but I do think we had some productivity. I've always said it would never be expected that it would be equivalent to what we would be able to do face-to-face, but I do think we made the best use of the time in the best way that we could. And I appreciate what the parents did, certainly appreciate our teachers stepping up to the task and picking up some new technical skills that they needed to make it work. And obviously the students, this was a new way of work for them as well.
What I can tell you about my two boys that were in middle school this year is I have never seen them sleep so much in my whole life. they weren't doing homeschool with mom, and they weren't having to show up at class. And if a teenager is supposed to get 14 hours a day, then they're on target. So that's what I know about my kids. So let's start chronologically in the kind of the wrong place, but you'll understand why. The fall is what's on everybody's minds, and the CDC has just come out with their recommendations, everything from eating food in the classroom instead of in the lunchroom to getting to reduce capacity on the buses and not sharing toys and pencils and things like this. It seems pretty restrictive to me. Do you have confidence that you can open school in the fall within their guidelines?
I would call those guidelines ridiculous. If you believe, just take the school bus recommendation. One student per seat, skip every other row. On our largest buses, the maximum capacity would be 20 students per bus. That is untenable. There is no calculus where you can solve that problem and we would be able to transport 25,000 students. Even if we doubled the buses and drivers that we had, the concept of eating in classrooms, that creates a whole new host of health problems. I think whoever wrote and created these guidelines have never worked in a school. We can do some of them, directing traffic in one direction. We can work on not sharing supplies, but anybody believes a 3-year-old pre-K student is going to wear a mask? We have a hard enough time keeping the shoes on. That's just not going to be functional. And if this is the way it's going to be, they're going to shut schools down all across America. Somebody will have to get some opinions from superintendents and teachers that would be a little bit more tenable. And have we forgotten this virus really isn't a child virus?
Yeah, no, and that's been the thing. I will say what I have said several times. I thought your original plan before the governor preempted it, basically the next day or 2 days after, I thought your original plan made an awful lot of sense based on what we knew about the disease, its transmissibility with kids and everything else. But that was my thought, too, as I'm looking at these restrictions, I'm thinking it's just not functional. The buses alone is not functional. And so everything else, I'm kind of encouraged to hear you say that it's ridiculous. I just wish the CDC had done a better job of consulting. So, if this is the guidance, And I know it's a little ways out, but you guys have to start making some decisions. What's happening right now with these rules as the sort of looming parameters?
Well, we're going to work with the governor of the state of Florida because the governor has authority to set the reopening parameters for Florida. And what we're going to want to do is set some parameters that are reasonable. Now, I understand some parents are going to be nervous in the fall. I'm expecting some migration to virtual school. You know, we've always had students and parents that choose that as their medium for distribution of instruction. I think that will increase because they will be afraid to send them back face-to-face. There are going to be other parents, they desperately need to send their children back to us for face-to-face instruction.
Right.
And they're going to need us to transport them. We'll take precautions. We're obviously going to have to clean more frequently. We're going to have a lot of hand sanitizers. We're going to make masks available for staff. But to think elementary students are going to wear a mask all day, to take away the playground, you can't put anyone in a cafeteria. It's non-functional in so many levels.
Yeah, no, I understand. Hey, last thing I wanted to ask you, we're talking to Malcolm Thomas, the superintendent of Escambia County Schools. What is the current plan for graduations? I know you very much want to. You recognize the importance of, but what is the plan for graduation ceremonies for the high schoolers?
We are going to have a graduation. We're deep into some of the details of that now. We're trying to work out logistics, what would be required. When can that be done? We've three dates that we've scheduled the Bay Center, one in June, two in July. We're hopeful that we can do it sooner than later. I'm hoping that within the next 2 weeks, we'll be able to get permissions and nail down the exact parameters under which we would have a face-to-face graduation, be able to release that to our seniors and their parents so that everybody can begin to make plans. But we are not going to forget this class of 2020. I promised them that from the beginning. We will celebrate their success. They will have an opportunity to march across the stage in the Civic Center. Now, it's likely to be different.
Yeah.
They will not have unlimited capacity. We will have to limit the crowd. So there'll probably be tickets this year. We've never had to do that, but we will have to. We'll have to separate them. Separate the students on the floor. We'll have to separate the crowd, reduce the capacity in the building. Those sort of things we'll have to do. But those are reasonable. We can pull that off and still celebrate our seniors.
Outstanding. Well, we certainly look forward to that. And I know you've been working hard throughout this and especially now to figure out these details. Superintendent Malcolm Thomas, thank you so much for the time this morning. Thanks for the service to our students. And congratulations on the last day of a very weird semester. We appreciate your work, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye.